Hello, everybody, and welcome back after a long hiatus to Dynamo's Half Dozen. You must forgive me today, guys and girls. I have got a horrible case of hay fever. And so does my trusted co-host, Ted Irving. Even though we're 12 miles apart, hay fever has still managed to find its way to both of us. So at least it's not corona. That's a good thing. But still, hay fever is a son of a bitch.
Definitely.
Especially when it affects your ability to sleep and speak properly and breathe, then it's a piece of shit. But onwards we go. We're back with Dynamo's Half Dozen. Obviously, with the quarantine, as you know, we've kind of been all over the shop. There's lots of new shows and stuff like that, but there's obviously, when this is all said and done, we're going to try and get a little bit more structure to all of the shows. For everyone that's kind of given us feedback on the new ASI podcast, the American Sports Ireland podcast, that's the one that we kind of seem to have as a set date for every Thursday now. So we've got Dara taking care of that. And I think, Ted, you and myself will try and get something similar where we can set it up to be just on rotation on a set day, so people can get a bit more familiarity. But that's just a little teething problems that we'll get to now once the network is up and running. But yeah, it's good to speak to you again, my friend.
Yeah, good to talk to you, bud.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while on this.
Yeah, been a while on this.
Yeah.
We figured today the best kind of thing to speak about today, I suppose, because we've done it a lot in the past on both the Dynamo's Dozen and Half Dozen, was speaking about the football. And football's kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit with my shows recently. But obviously, it is back now. It's kind of, I suppose, it's nearly a week back in full effect. And we've had some games, some very strange games and very, very strange atmosphere, I suppose, if you don't listen to the current games. For anybody that's listening over in the States or anything like that, and you're waiting on the return of your sports, basically soccer is back, but it's back in empty stadiums. There is still travel. It's not going to be like the NBA or anything like that, where it's all going to be played within a bubble and in the one location. Teams are still travelling to grounds, but it's basically empty stadiums. Those of you familiar with all the wrestling shows, it's very similar to that. So,
they're all getting tested twice a week as well, all the players. So,
yeah,
it's quite stringent on making sure that people are clear to play and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. Staff and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, exactly. And they've got the nine subs on the bench with a five substitution rule, which is, you know, so that's there, I suppose.
No ball boys
or anything like that. Yeah, so it's kind of a good idea the way they've done it. With the five subs is a good idea too, because obviously if you have a 24-man squad, plus I suppose you can dip into the youth as well, they don't count towards the 20 to 25. But it's kind of good to have that, because this is basically now, when does it finish, Ted? When is it finished up in July? Some stage, is it?
Yeah, I think they're kind of rushing through it a bit here, because all the games seem to be quite close. Like, it was games on the weekend, and we're already back into another week of it today.
That's what I'm saying. So it's very similar to the World Cup type situation, where they'll have games on every day.
It's a bit rushed, but
yeah,
that's what you have to do if you want to get next season started as well.
Yeah, it's just to get it over and done with. But I suppose the good thing about it is lots of weird stuff happening. I suppose there's no point in giving predictions in terms of who's going to win it, because I think it's only a matter of time before Liverpool lift the cup.
It's a matter of time now at this point, I think.
Which can happen this week. I think if if Chelsea beat Man City and Crystal Palace lose against Liverpool this week, I think that'll be it. The trophy is theirs. as far as I know.
No, I think they need another one after that, because I think they needed 5 points to secure it.
Was it? Okay, so maybe they'll just be.
I think it was 4. I can't remember. It was either 4 or 5, but I can't remember for sure.
Yeah.
It's been that long since we've looked at it.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm constantly concentrating on that fourth spot and looking at the points around it. So it's one of those. It's an interesting one, because we're at a point now where usually we're talking about, you know, well, we would have been in the Euros now. We would have been smack bang in the middle of the Euro 2020. But around this time as well, it's usually silly season for, you know, for football transfer rumours and transfers. But we've seen my team get out of the gate very, very quickly in terms of transfers, obviously signing Timo Werner, which was kind of came out of left field for me. I was kind of smart on this one. I deleted FIFA from my PlayStation, and I stopped listening to any Chelsea YouTube videos or news. I just said, I'm just going to switch off until whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean? And
I think you guys kind of had to be out of the gate very quick because of the ban last season.
Yeah.
I think the fact that you couldn't sign anybody last season meant that you had to come out of the gates strong to make sure. Like, it's not that you have had a bad season this year.
Oh, no.
Obviously. Yeah. But the fact is that some of those players wouldn't have been there this season had you been able to sign someone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so Willian probably wouldn't have still been there. He would have been there. He would, probably would have seen his contract out, but he wouldn't have been a first team player.
Exactly, and I think that's what it is. I mean, I think if you look at it's you know, nobody expected, including me, to be honest with you, nobody expected Chelsea to be up in the top four position with obviously Frank in a second year of management and a lot of the U players and the transfer ban. But obviously, if we look at it, I think during at the weekend there, everybody's raving about young Mason Mount, had an absolute cracker of a game. You know,
that's probably the best game he's had, I'd say.
But he's had some good ones this season. He's had some good moments, a lot.
I think he's had good moments, but I think this is the best game.
Oh yeah, from start to finish. Yeah, from start to finish.
He's had some magic moments in games.
Yeah.
He'd be missed for 40 minutes, then do something, and then missing for another 20, and then do something. Whereas this one, I think he was quite consistently good.
Yeah, because you were actually texting me during the game. I remember that, and actually saying that he was having a
Like 2-1, it's a fine result, you know. You get your 3 points, whatever,
yeah.
And it's 2-1 away from home, but it's not a great result if you're watching the game, because you should have been you should have been further ahead. Like, it was some good saves, and then just players not reacting to some of the crosses that were put in and stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing I took away. There was a lot of great balls put in. I suppose you could put it down to a little bit of rustiness as well with the likes of...
There's a massive amount of rust here.
Yeah.
Games
behind closed doors with your own team is one thing, isn't it? But playing competitive football is a...
I think part of it is they haven't really... There's been no training either. There's been 3 weeks of training?
And they're all
meant to be back playing at this top level, which it's not at the top level, because even watching the game, you can see the sloppiness out of some people and the lack of sharpness. Like, a ball is just in front of someone, and you're like, he'd normally have got that, and this time he's missed it because he's a step slower than he should be.
Like agent...
It's reaction times.
Like agent David Luiz for Arsenal there last week.
he's a rough one.
Some people are saying, is David Luiz just been sent by Chelsea to just literally destroy poor old Arsenal? They're having a rough
Well, poor old Arsenal had three injuries in 2 games.
Bernd Leno, the keeper, is gone pretty much. I think David Luiz is probably the end of him, isn't he? In an Arsenal shirt, I'd imagine.
No, he's been offered a 1 year contract extension.
Has he really?
Yeah, earlier today he was offered one. I don't know if he signed it, but he's been offered one.
Wow.
Leno's gone, I think, for whatever's left of this season anyway, whatever. I don't know about, I haven't heard much. But I was watching it. It was one of those ones where they didn't show a replay of him down on the leg. So you could kind of tell that when they don't do that, you know it's bad.
Oh yeah,
I think his knee is gone. So that's depending on what it is. That could be, it could just be 6 weeks, could be 6 months.
Yeah, like I suppose a good way to look at it and kind of put some structure on this chat. I mean, we kind of said we'd just bring the half dozen back with just a general chat about the football being back. So it's always cool to sometimes talk on a podcast the way you would be just talking if you weren't being recorded, I guess. We were kind of mentioning off air there now. It's starting. I think the real interesting battles are up around the top six and then kind of down around the bottom half as well. I think the Leicester were sitting pretty for a long time there in second, and they were on a hell of a run. And I think this quarantine has probably done some damage to the likes of a Leicester, because a Leicester doesn't necessarily have definitely doesn't have the squad that a Chelsea and a United have. And United and Chelsea have.
I think these five subs, I think, are. I don't agree with them. The idea is that it's meant to be for health and safety reasons, but that shouldn't. Like, how does having five subs make coronavirus any less likely to spread? If anything, it makes it more likely, and all it does is benefit these teams with stronger squads.
Yeah.
Like, who are Leicester going to bring on? They might have two or three good subs, but who they're going to bring on is their fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
Whereas United are sitting there, City are sitting there, Liverpool to an extent, but United definitely, Chelsea to an extent, Arsenal to an extent, like all these top teams, they're sitting there and they're like, okay, well, I can bring on this lad and this lad, and okay, they might not be the top, but United used to have to, like, United obviously are my team, so it's easiest for me to go with them, but like, we used to have to decide, right, we need to make these subs, right, bring on Greenwood, bring on a defensive midfielder, so like Matic, and then all right, and then bring on Brandon Williams, right, to cover Luke Shaw, because coming at the end of the game, Luke Shaw's running out of steam, right? That's what we used to have to do. But now it's like, right, well, we can bring Brandon Williams, Matic, we can bring on Luke Shaw, right? Are we still okay, we're chasing the game, bring on another attacking player in Pogba, or are we still chasing it? All right, bring on Igalo. So we can chase that game a lot better now and bolster our defence for when the players get tired. Whereas what's someone like West Ham or Southampton going to do?
Well, even look at
that squad. It's a bit unfair.
Well, even look at the game the other day. Like, you know, at the start of the season, you would have said, all right, Chelsea have a young team and we're not, you know, I was obviously familiar with the players from watching them on loan and from watching them in the U team. And I knew the likes of Mason Mount and all were going to be good. But then if you look at Chelsea's strength there the other day, they have nine subs to choose from. Like, you've got Tammy Abraham, Chelsea's top scorer, on the bench to come off. You've got Pedro on the bench to come off. Jorginho to come off. Billy Gilmore now, who everyone is raving about, to come off. Loftus-Cheek is back, obviously, as well. So I agree with you. And then you've got Villa, who probably don't really have anyone then to come on and, you know what I mean, to do much. So
yeah, but like, I mean, you brought on Barkley, like, right? And
Barkley, okay, so,
like, Barkley's not great or anything.
He had a decent, yeah.
He's not great or anything, but he's better than what Villa had to bring on.
Yeah.
You know, Villa start their strong 11, and that's, like, if they could bring on someone even of the quality of Barkley, that's a big improvement for them.
Very
but
much
they don't
so.
Even have that, like.
Very much so. Do you so know I think what?
It's a bit unfair on the lower teams, I suppose.
Yeah. I was actually doing a little bit of digging there. And I was going back just before the break. It's crazy because I'd forgotten about Ross Barkley. And I remember just before the break, I remember he had a couple of decent moments. He gave Liverpool the run around. Do you remember in the FA Cup? Scored a belter as well. But he's one of those players, isn't he? That, like, he's past his sell-by date in a lot of ways. But, like, you see those little moments and you go, if he had got his head down and was that kind of player that was able to be coached, do you understand what I mean? Like, actually be able to be coached. I find Barkley and players like Batshuayi and United, you probably have a few players on United like that, that no matter what coach comes in, they just don't seem coachable, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
I think Barkley is just a moments player.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a player. I think he's got moments in him, and every time you're like, right, that's it, get him out, then he brings out one of those moments and you're like, oh, actually, Maybe there is something there. And it kind of used to happen with Lingard a little bit at United. Everyone wanted him out, and then bam, two magic moments. He scores two goals, and you're like, oh, actually, maybe there is something there.
Yeah, Lingard's a good example.
Player because of it.
Yeah, Lingard's
like, you get stuck with a player because you keep thinking, ah, there might be something there, but there's not. Like, they have a few moments in them. Get them out.
Yeah, I mean, I think I look at
a top squad. Like,
I look at Tottenham have a lot of those players now. That, you know, 3-4 years ago as they were coming up, you know, these were going to be the golden generation for England
Spurs,
as well.
Yeah.
But like Dele Alli is another one of them now that's just become one of those players that does it every now and then. But I mean, obviously, Harry Kane's a different story. Harry Kane's just a goal machine. But like, you know, that's like, you've always got those players like Kane and Van Nistelrooy and players that will just always score goals no matter what.
I think that Spurs team, it's Kane, Son.
Yeah, Son is definitely, he's quality. But Dele Alli's in that bracket now. I think Dele Alli's close to moving.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Bracket.
Like, when you think about that Spurs team, you're kind of thinking, take Kane and Son. Is there anyone else you really want to take from that team? Lloris, maybe. He's not a bad keeper. He's not.
He's old, though.
There's no one there I'm looking at and going, oh, I'd love to have them in my squad other than those two, really.
Yeah, like maybe last season, Vertonghen.
Eriksen, maybe last.
Vertonghen would have been a defender that you would have taken maybe a season and a half ago. But I think, again, he should have made the move.
Pass the sell by.
Yeah, he should have made the move. I think United wanted him and Real Madrid wanted him last season, didn't they? And that was the move. I think that move probably would have freshened him up a little bit, but it's become stale. And when you've got Jose Mourinho as your coach, then, you know what I mean? No offense to Mourinho. I love Mourinho, as you know, but you're not going to be doing anything new and dynamic. It's going to be basically counter-attacking football.
He didn't get his game. He's meant to be one of their bigger defenders. They played against us. He didn't get a game. You have 5 substitutes and you don't bring him on.
Yeah, but that's a statement right there, isn't it?
People talk about, Mourinho's a defensive coach. He's a defensive coach, right? Whatever, even if he is or he isn't, whatever you think about him, if he's a defensive coach and he's not bringing on Vertonghen, what's that telling you?
Yep.
This guy isn't there. He's not there for that anymore. Like.
Yeah, I agree. We look at, I think we'll have a little bit of play, a bit of fantasy football here, just because it's always fun and entertaining for people to listen to. I think the one league that, obviously with financial fair play being put on hold now for probably a season and a half at least anyway, it gives the likes of our teams anyway a big chance in the summer, but when you look around the globe now and you see, obviously, how badly Italy has been affected through it, because Italy was obviously one of the first big countries to, and which is unfortunate because the Serie A was kind of on the rise, the marketing and all that kind of stuff came up with Ronaldo's move there, and a lot more players were tipped to move. But even Spain, even the two big Spanish joints can't really spend much money this summer, so it's a strange one now for the Premier League. I think they're going to obviously benefit because of Premier League money, but I will say, it's only going to really benefit the top teams because, you know, the financial backdrop of, you know, Sky TV, of all the TV deals that they have, won't really be in full effect as we're hearing now. I heard Gary Neville say a great piece on it there a week or two ago. It's only going to be, like, even Liverpool can't spend, you know what I mean? And they're going to win the league, which is crazy, like, you know?
I think there's a bit of
strange one.
The Premier League's kind of a strange one because it's very hard to for a top club to sign anyone in the Premier League now.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows about this money. So Wilfred Zaha wanted to leave Crystal Palace, right? Now there's a player, he's a good player, he's this, he's that. And Arsenal wanted him.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace turned down 70 million from. So this talented young player is stuck at a team that, you know, aren't, like, they're in ninth place at the moment, okay? So they're not, and, like, I say this, but they're actually ahead of Arsenal at the moment. Arsenal are in 10th,
they're not going anywhere as a franchise, I think, is what you mean. Do you know what I mean?
Like, they'll stay in the middle of the table there. They're not going to make any big signings.
Yeah.
But they turned down 70 million, which, it's because they have so much money. but like that they could get away with turning down 70 million. But this player is now stuck in a club where he's like, oh, I could have gone somewhere else now. Like say Mahrez, right? Mahrez left Leicester.
Go back to Zaha for a second there. Here was a point that Gary Neville made actually the other week, which is very similar to what you were kind of touching on there. If you look at Zaha, right, 70 million, they turned him down. Jadon Sancho, the player that was courted by everybody, Barca, Chelsea, Bayern, everyone, automatically the price has dropped 20 million because of this coronavirus. And that's what Gary Neville said. Teams like Crystal Palace will now be probably wishing they could rewind back to January and take that, because you're not getting 70 million. Zaha is now a 50 million player, probably.
Yeah, but he's had a shite season as well because he doesn't want to be there. So he's actually 28. Has dropped anyway.
Zaha is 28, really?
Yeah.
Whoa, I thought he was younger than that.
He's had a brutal season this season.
He has,
because he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So not only has he lost value because he's not playing to the way he can play.
Yeah.
Right, so you've already lost, ten million, twenty, and there's an extra year gone off his contract. So you're looking at under 10, 20 million gone anyway.
Yeah.
And now, because of this, there's another drop. So, they're probably going to sell him now for 40 million next, in this coming window.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, he didn't keep you up. He's not the reason you're still staying in the Premier League here. So why didn't you just take an extra 30 million? Like, my point with Mahrez was people kind of had a go at Mahrez. Oh, what's he leaving Leicester for after they won the league? And he left and he went to Man City. And he sits on the bench a lot at Man City, and he probably doesn't deserve to because he is a very good player. But he's gone and won three leagues now.
Yeah.
You know, and he's on a team that's in second place at the moment, you know. And what have Leicester done?
Yeah,
they might make top four this season, maybe.
Yeah, well, it was the same with N'Golo Kante, you know what I mean? He left Leicester and then went the following season with Antonio Conte. And that's, to all the British people listening, it's Kante and Conte. It's not the same. Yeah. Did you see the other day when you brought that to my attention that the British commentators were announcing Kante as Conte? Did you see it?
Keep saying it.
Do you know who tweeted that out literally 5 minutes after you put that up?
No, I'm not on Twitter. Who said it?
Cesc Fabregas. He says, why do they keep calling him Conte?
I was like, what's Conte doing there? He's after gone off to Serie A. What's he doing back?
They always used to say it, though. It was like Ruud Gullit. They used to say Ruud Gullit. And the same with Di Matteo. I was like, guys, come on. Pronounce their names.
You're being paid enough money.
If you've got a little Mancunian and Gary Neville that can pronounce these names, and even Jamie Carragher, a proper full-blooded Merseysider that can still pronounce these names correctly, then come on, lads.
there has to be some sort of little joke or something in the office there to see if they can do it.
There must be some little
banter or something.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. This season, when you're watching the matches now that they're back, are you watching with the... obviously, Sky are offering, you can watch with the piped-in crowd noises or without.
I'm doing a bit of both.
I'm all over the no crowd noise. I can't do it with the crowd noise because it's a second behind. It's like, so a keeper makes a good save and then it's like, save. Whoa! And it's like, that delay just, it's off-putting, like. So I just watch it without it, but I love it. All the lads going mad and they keep apologising. Oh, you might have heard him curse there now. We're sorry about that.
Yeah.
Lads, I'm not too worried about hearing whoever it is, Mason Mount or Rashford or whoever, when they get fouled going, oh, for fuck's sake. Come on, it's grand.
That's what we want to hear.
Grown lads playing football.
It makes it kind of human as well. Brings it to that human level too.
Yeah, well, people think these are, these high-class professionals. They're not like that. You go down and watch a Sunday league game, that's what you're going to hear as well, you know?
It'll be interesting to hear what kind of banter the lads are having now when the NBA comes back, if there's no crowd. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, because in American sports, I don't know, it's weird. In English sports, they don't really do it. They kind of get in trouble. The ref will come over and be like, you can't be doing that. They don't shit-talk each other. But, you're against this person. Why shouldn't you be? But in the Americans love it. Like, they're all about like shit talking their player and like, I'm gonna slam dunk on you and
yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna knock you into those boards. They're all about it. I can't wait for that.
I think it's great, dude. Like, I mean, it's like for anyone that watched the Michael Jordan documentary, you know, he'd just be saying to the boys, "Yeah, I'm gonna put 40 on you in the next quarter. 40. Watch it happen.
Yeah.
You know, just it's I mean, I think it's cool. I suppose we're not going to spend too long on this one today. We just want to kind of to get our toes back into the water and kind of have a chat. But in terms of seeing how the rest of the season goes, as I say, a lot of it's going to be foregone conclusion, and it is going to be very messy for a lot of teams too. Obviously, because they're basically speed racing. True, you know what I mean? I do apologize, guys. My voice is all over the shop because of my nose.
Well, even the bottom half of the table, like, I think we can accept Norwich are kind of gone.
Yeah.
I think it's to be accepted that they're gone. But from 19th to up to 15th, it's only 7 points. Like, and those teams have to play each other. So that's like, if you beat somebody who's in, like, if you're 19th at the moment and you beat somebody who's in 14th or 15th, you know, that takes you out of the relegation zone and puts them into nearly a relegation battle. Like, it's very hard to judge what other teams are going to go down. Like, Norwich are the only one there that I think are, like, that you'd have a safe bet to say they're going down.
Villa now have a pretty tough run in too,
Yeah, but you think that, but then West Ham are two places above them, so just outside the relegation zone, and there's West Ham have a game in hand, and they're a point ahead of them. So it's, that's what I mean. Like, that's how close it is. Like, if Villa win here now on the weekend, they'll go ahead of West Ham. And obviously if Bournemouth win as well, that'll push them up. But like, if Watford, who are in 16th, lose, and West Ham, obviously it doesn't matter what West Ham do because they're a game in hand. But if Bournemouth and Villa both win and Watford lose, then the bottom three changes completely except Norwich. So like, the last, like, those last two spots are, they're all up for who could go down here. It's going to be a very tight battle at that, like, at the bottom of the table, I think.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of like, for the neutrals, that's going to be a real kind of fun one to watch.
But it's good and it's bad, because if your team is at the top of the table trying to get top four and you have to play someone who's at the bottom of the table, the team you'd want to play there now at the most is probably Norwich, because they have the least to gain.
Yeah.
You don't want to play Watford or Bournemouth or Villa or West Ham or Brighton or Southampton. You don't want to play any of them, because they're all, they know one loss can move them into that bottom half.
Yeah.
And you're trying to battle for top four. Like, so this is where it gets real difficult. Like, the people who are in the middle of the table, and they aren't, like, the likes of Everton, like, they're not going to go down, but they're not getting to the top four either. They're the games you want, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they should be a more difficult game, like, by all rights, they should be more difficult. They're kind of the easier one, because they know where they are. They're like, I'm 11th or 12th or whatever. What's it matter? Like, you know, there's nothing to gain from going up or down a position here.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's the thing. It's exciting, and it's good to see the sports back. Obviously, over on the other podcast, we're talking about the American stuff and all the boxing's coming back and stuff like that as well. So it will be really cool to kind of see what way the season finishes. As I said, it's kind of weird even for me, like, the football's back, but it doesn't feel like football's back. It's so strange. You know, it's just...
It's hard, because you have to try... You kind of have to get back into the swing of it, and it's...
Yeah.
I know this happens at the end of every season. You have to, like, you know, the new season starts. But normally when the new season starts, you've had this ramp up of signings, and, you know, you've had this time off where you're like, oh, I can't wait to watch my team get back. Whereas we've had that time off, but we've had none of this build-up of signings.
Yeah.
And it's not coming back to a fresh season where you're like, right, win the first game of the season and that puts us in a good spot. Win the second game, that puts us in a good spot. You already kind of know that you're... Like, we already know that these games, like, we know who's won the league, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Barring some, in, like, completely in insane like collapse where Liverpool just don't win any games and like lose all of them on the trot now going forward. Barring that happening, we know like this league is like that's who's won it. Liverpool's won it, right? So like at the start of a new season, you have this like, oh, we could win the league this year, but you don't get that now because you're just coming back in the middle of a season after a huge break. So it's hard to get back into the swing of it, I think.
Yeah, like it's like for me, it's like, yeah, we've signed Hakim Ziyech and Timo Werner, but I'm just using my team as an example because that's who I follow, obviously.
It's yeah, like, but that's what I mean. But like, it's still a few months until you get to see them.
Yeah. It's not the. I mean, the only exciting thing, I suppose, the other day for me was to be able to see, I guess, the return of Loftus-Cheek, which was pretty cool, you know, after such a long time out. And, you know, but like you say, you're looking for something small to excite you, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, it's the same for United. Like, we didn't expect to have Rashford back for this season.
Yeah.
Because the season's been delayed for so long. Rashford's now back playing. So, it's, you know, you've got that little bit of a buzz of, oh, great, we get to see Rashford play.
Yeah.
But at the same point, we know that our battle is still for fourth place. Like, there's no start of the season buzz here. You know, you're coming back to, like, a mid-season buzz, but not even, like, the January transfer window buzz or anything. Like, it's just a...
Yeah, it's kind of... It's, like...
It's weird, like...
It is strange. I mean, it's never happened before, so... I mean, obviously, hopefully...
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, going forward, we'll kind of, I suppose, grow into it over the next coming weeks because, I mean, there's not going to be... There's probably only about a month of football, really, isn't there? With the way they're flying through
these
games.
A month and a bit, yeah.
Yeah, not
much. Well, City are the only team to have come out of a game or, like, come out of a box kind of swinging, really.
Yeah.
Like a 3-0 and a 5-0 victory in the first week.
No disrespect to Arsenal, but they played two mid-table teams.
Yeah, like they didn't play two, but like still, it's just they're the only team that came out with that kind of
Arsenal fans need
with that
to know
kind of intensity.
Arsenal fans need to know their level now. That's their level, you know. And
they're just a strange team. They should be doing so much better. When you look at what players they have, they should be doing so much better than they are. It's a very strange one.
Yeah, I just don't think they have enough depth. I think they've got some good players, but they don't have a team. They haven't had a team in a long time, you know what I mean?
I think a centre-back is the big thing for them now.
Oh, Jesus. A centre-back and then some, yeah, 100%. They're all kind of a bark, no bite, very similar to Tottenham. But look, I'm happy because London is blue. I'll finish on that one. London is blue. Only London.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Like United played. Obviously, we played Spurs, so kind of like we had like it's not a great game to want to come back to. Back into Premier League football, you know, you don't have any rhythm or anything. You're just jumping in straight against Spurs, who like they're not a bad side either.
No.
And it ended 1-1. It wasn't a great game. Both teams were very cautious, I suppose is the word. Like neither team wanted to take that risk. And then in the last kind of 20 minutes, it kind of opened up and you got the kind of game you were expecting to get there.
Yeah.
But we got, like, United got to see Bruno Fernandes and Pogba playing with Rashford up front and with Greenwood on. And, like, for those last 20 minutes, you know, we could easily have scored one or two. Like, Lloris made some very big saves in that.
Yeah.
So I'm personally like looking forward now to tomorrow, which is when our next game is. We're against
Sheffield United.
We're against Sheffield, which is like that's a big game, which is strange to say because it shouldn't be that big a game. But like a win there, that like they're 2 points behind us now, so a win there is quite big for us. And then Chelsea are against City, so not a great game for you guys either.
Not a great game for City either, though. That's the thing. You know, it's the way you're looking at it. So it's two.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. Like,
it's two very tough games in the battle for top four because obviously Sheffield United are there. Wolves are creeping around as well. So
yeah.
Dropped points by United and Chelsea can really leave it open for these.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah,
you know. So it's
any points dropped now are just so big. Like, I think Leicester might drop out of that top four. To be honest, I think. They haven't looked a great shakes now recently. and you're looking at Vardy, who's their, like, Vardy's the main man, and, you know, he's banging them in, but, wow, like, he's 30-something now, is
34,
he? He's already retired from international football. Does he have, like, how many years left does he have at being able to be the main man at a club?
Yeah, I mean, even for the remainder of this season, I personally can kind of see United and Chelsea almost capitalising on them and probably getting third and fourth respectively or whatever order.
I think Leicester might drop out of that top. Like, as we said, they've got a game in hand and they're 9 points clear of United, which, you know, that's still quite a leap, but I think United have an easier run in than Leicester do as well. So
yeah,
and I think we still have to play Leicester a second time as well. So that, you know, that's another three. Like, if we win there, that's under 3 points. And like, if we win this weekend, that's another three. So instead of being nine, it's now down to six. If you take that we beat them, like, obviously that's not a given either.
But, oh yeah, for any team, like, it's not a given. But
that point differential drops for each and every game. Like, if they drop. If they don't win a game and we win one, it's a big gap closer there, and like, can drop them out of the top four, which mightn't end up mattering too much because, as we said, City, I don't think they're getting Champions League football, if there is Champions League football to be had.
Well, next season, yeah. I mean, City, fair is fair. They've been warned enough times, so I think it's only fair that City do lose out, and then obviously it would basically go then to, if the table was as it is now, it would mean it would be Liverpool, Leicester, Chelsea and United then getting the top four anyway. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. But
yeah, that's what I mean. It's...
Yeah, no, it's interesting. But look, I think we'll leave it there. We wanted just a quick one. We've had a nice little 40-minute podcast today. We will come back next week. I think we had a couple of things just before this silly virus came in, and we were going to be talking about books and stuff like that, but we might revisit some of that. We might even look at a pay-per-view or something, an old school pay-per-view, just to take people's mind off the current state of wrestling and stuff like that, and just maybe have a little watch along or give them an opportunity to go back and watch something cool, you know, something like maybe the Royal Rumble 2002 or something like that might be nice.
Loving out Royal Rumble with me.
Yeah, same with me. I like a Royal Rumble. So we'll obviously, this show will go up when yous are all hearing it. It should be on Thursday, which will be what, the 27th. So that'll let everybody listening know now. That is that will be the 25th. My apologies. So that's obviously, this has been pre-recorded, and by this stage we will know whether United won or lost with Sheffield United as well. So, but look, Ted, we'll come back. Yeah, we'll come back next week. We'll obviously have a little bit of delegation and see what we'll talk about next week. But until then, guys, thanks everybody for listening in and joining us again. And do apologise for the two ill guys that you're listening to right now with the stuffed noses. Hopefully next week this hay fever will be gone, and we'll be back to full fitness. Ted, been a pleasure as always, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, cheers, bud. Good luck.
Take it easy.